Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome, each listeners. You are Twin Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the program, the Rabbi Tafkar program on Radio Islam International. All right, dear listeners, it's your phone-in program. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 0825-8080-70 and alternately 48855. Yes, subhanAllah, it is weekend time. It's time to relax, dear listeners, you know. And sometimes you have to relax, keep your bodies a rest, etc. We find that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala has mentioned that relax your heart and find some means of entertainment for them, because they become a pathetic just like the bodies get tired. So regarding this, inshallah, have a good time, have a weekend, inshallah, obviously fulfilling the commandments of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, punctual with regards to namazes, etc. And yes, give your body a rest. Inna li nafsika alayka haq, wa inna li zawjika alayka haqqan. وَإِنَّ لِزَوْدِكَ عَلِكَ حَقًّا. Nabi Kareem Sassam has mentioned that give your bodies a rest. Your body has a right upon you. Your visitors has a right upon you. Your family have a right upon you. Your visitors have a right upon you. SubhanAllah. All right, dear listeners, we'd like to welcome Abdul Haq Qatar on the program. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Mawlana, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan once again for everyone for the opportunity. Obviously, as far as Mawlana is concerned, I know he sacrificed and dedicates his time to come here and spend some time with us in the studio, alhamdulillah. So jazakallah to you, Mawlana, and jazakallah to all the listeners out there who have been tuning in every week. Alhamdulillah, we've been having a lot of positive response from people out there. I wouldn't say it's unfortunate, but it's rather, opportunity missed for those on air, for the people that call us in during the during the day and when there's no programs and things like that. Like we always like to stress on the fact that it would be really appreciated if you give us a call on air, so there are many more people who can benefit. Remember for yourself that if you ask us the question on air, inshallah, it will be beneficial to the ummah at large. And with the result, I'm sure, Mawlana, there should be some thawab in there for the questioners. And inshallah, yeah, let's do our best to give everyone what we can to the best of our ability. The other thing, Mawlana, before we go really much further, alhamdulillah, we know it's coming to that time of the year where the business guys actually don't like it. But we as the ordinary guys just love it, because all the holidays are coming on, the long weekends are coming on, the Ijtima is coming on. So it will be, like you said, you know, rest the mind, rest the body, rest everything. It will be a fantastic thing to do, but inshallah, let's look at our vehicles, let's look at our destinations, what we've planned, holidays, wherever we are going. As far as holidays are concerned, you know, let's make sure our vehicles are all in order, inshallah. Let's have everything checked out. Let's not leave anything out. So when we get out there, inshallah, it will prevent unnecessary hassles for us on journey. Journey is suffering, you know, but yeah, sometimes you must have some sort of difficulty on the journey. But inshallah, let it not be of anything major, inshallah. And as far as the Ijtima is concerned, alhamdulillah, it takes place annually, and this year, alhamdulillah, we hear it is in Benoni. So for all our guys, you know, who's out there, who's inshallah intending to attend the Ijtima, guys, let's be, you know, courteous, cautious, be good on the roads, be good to the marshals there, parking, everything else. I know we would all love to park right in the main tent, but unfortunately that is not the parking. So guys, you know, let's just obey and be cool and calm. And as I said last year as well, is guys, you know, if we can create some sort of lift club, you know, take the neighbor with you instead of you and the neighbor taking both your cars, that will create less congestion, inshallah. So yeah.
JazakAllah for that, Abdul Haq Qatar. Yes, dear listeners, I'd like to share with you one or two tips, inshallah, one or two adab or etiquettes of traveling. It is night time, and SMS coming through as well. Just a reminder to our listeners that about 45, a half an hour ago, the Bayez Noday driveway has been completely closed off, both lanes affected between Judith and West Park. It's a bad accident there. Somebody sent an SMS, it's a nightmare, avoid. Allahu alam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, protect us all. Ameen, inshallah. You know, dear listeners, talking about traveling at night, I myself, you know, we travel a lot at night. Allah protect us all. The Nabi of Allah Ta'ala has mentioned Hadith Bukhari Sharif, Hadith, that, you know what, if the people knew what I know about being alone, nobody would ever travel alone at night. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi has mentioned Hadith in Bukhari Sharif, that if the people knew what I know about being alone, of traveling alone, nobody would ever travel alone at night. So inshallah, you know, it's mustahab to travel. Rather, let's take somebody with us, and you know, when two or three people are together, then appoint one as an Amir there. Also, inshallah, just one adab, Genesis, when we travel, when you come to see, when you come to another town, for example, and you want to enter the town, then it's mustahab to read this dua, inshallah. It is, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ahliha wa khayra ma fiha. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا وَشَرِّ مَا فِيهَا أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم that Allah, you ask in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah, اللهم إني أسألك خيرها وخير أهلها وخير ما فيها. Ya Allah, I'm asking you for the goodness of this town. Ya Allah, the goodness of the people there, the goodness وخير ما فيها, the goodness of what is in this town, O Allah. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّهَا O Allah, I seek refuge with you from the evil of this town, وَشَرِّ أَهْلِهَا, the evil of the people of this town, and وَشَرِّ مَا فِيهَا, subhanAllah, the evil, Ya Allah, of what is in this town here. So regarding the very, very encompassing dua, you're asking Allah for the goodness of the town, for all the barakat, for the khair of the people of this town, and whatever good there is in this town, subhanAllah. Allah give us the tawfiq to make amal. And also added to that is that when you're traveling to business, you know, maybe it's weekend time, you're taking a break, coming out somewhere, make dua, inshallah, make dua, because we find that when you are on safar, when you're traveling, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that there are three du'as that are not rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Three du'as that are not rejected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. One is the du'a of a parent for his child. The other du'a that is maqbool in Allah, accepted by the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the du'a of the fasting person. And thirdly, the du'a that is not been rejected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the du'a of the traveler. Allah give us the understanding, inshallah. Alright, let's go on further. Number to call for the program 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855 and alternately 0825-8080-70. Abdul Haq, lengthy question coming forward. I'm going to give you the details of the car.
Allah,
it's a Mazda 626 1995 four-cylinder automatic. It's got about 280,000 kilos on the clock. You got it, my brother? All right, JazakAllah.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. It's a problem regarding the shift lock console noise.
Okay.
It says my battery died over the long weekend. When I finally got it started, I noticed a clicking sound when I took my foot off the brake. It seems to be coming from the shift lever console. It sat dead for a few days before I could get the battery replaced. And some rain leaked in and dripped on the console or the shift lock key area. So it says, any idea what I'm looking at here? Is it a shift cable or a solenoid? And is it going to hurt anything to keep driving with it with the noise? And he says, was only in park at first, and within a few minutes it was occurring all the gears. He's talking about the park, reverse, neutral drive. Further says, every time I take my foot off the brake, it makes the noise for about 20 seconds and then stops until I brake and release. When I turned off the car, it made the noise as soon as the key was turned off before I released the brake pedal. Abdul Haqqatraraji, my brother, what is your answer to this?
Alhamdulillah, very lengthy question. Alhamdulillah, Mazda, whatever. But if we just to bring to the listeners' notice, Maulana,
yeah,
is that if we look at something like this, this has been happening for a way back, where they actually, this is a safety feature. So when you remove the key from the ignition, it actually locks your gear into park, so you won't be able to remove it from park. But okay, coming back to the problem itself, all right. The problem could be either or, otherwise both. Not like none of the above, both of the above. Whereas you could be having a problem with the shift solenoid itself, which is being activated due to a electrical fault within the shift solenoid or on the relay itself for the shift solenoid. The other is obviously due to the clicking of the shift solenoid on a rather continuous basis has affected the adjustment on the cable itself, because it works on an electronic as well as a mechanical system. every time you press your brake or you put into gear or you put your key off, this feature is supposed to have locked your vehicle into park. And obviously what has happened there due to some probably water or something like that, like Morana mentioned, there's water involved. People tend to love dropping, especially the kids, you know, they love dropping their cool drinks and their popcorns and all this sort of stuff on the console where the gear lever is, and that is where your shift solenoid is actually based, below the actual console. And with the result, what you are having there is a problem with the shift solenoid, and more than likely with the cable as well. Okay, fortunately with the cable, it is an adjustable issue, whereas if you look at your electronic system, the solenoid, unfortunately the solenoid will have to be replaced, because it's permanently and perpetually kicking in and out, and that is the reason of all the clicking sound. It will work on three occasions. This will work when you put your car into park. The second time it could activate this whole system is if you press your brake, because it is connected to the brake as well. And the third time this clicking should happen or will happen is when you take the key out of the ignition, because it is also connected to the ignition system. And with the result, any of these three sort of movements that happens on the car, or you know, you put into park, or you press the brake, or you turn the key off, whatever, these three motions will activate that, and that is the result of all that clicking that you're having. But personally, I would first of all look at the shift solenoid. More than likely, the shift solenoid has a short within itself due to some water in the system, and that is the resulting of this whole scenario you're having.
Lovely, Jazakumullah. 1998 Toyota Corolla Abdul Haq, four-cylinder front-wheel drive. It's an automatic car. The brother's concern is, he says that the brake light comes on. The light is on when the parking brake is set and goes off as it should when the parking brake is released. While driving, the brake light comes on, but the light will extinguish after braking to a stop. He further says the light will then come back for about 5 to 10 seconds after accelerating from a stop. The fluid level is fine and the power boost seems normal. The brother says, I got a video, I can send this if you want to help the diagnosis.
Gee, Morana, very interesting question, very nice question there. Okay, he does give us a good sort of reasonable sort of explanation as to his light, the brake light coming on, and that is the brake light. I'm sure, I just want to clear this with the listeners, it is the brake light on the instrument cluster, showing that the handbrake is on. Is that what he's trying to say? Gee, all right, because I would have thought the brake light at the back of the vehicle is a different issue. Yes, more than likely, you know, like he's eliminated the problem as far as the brake fluid level is concerned, because yes, in most instances, you'll find a lot of time people come in and they say, you know, my handbrake light stays on, but the handbrake is down. And, you know, it is just a matter of, I wouldn't say lack of knowledge, for lack of better word, I'd say lack of knowledge. But, yes, if your brake fluid level is low, it's obviously going to put that on, the handbrake light on. That means your brake fluid reservoir is below the maximum or below the minimum level. That's when the light comes on, because it's got a little sensor inside that puts that on. Okay, the problem could be lying within the actual reservoir itself, because on those vehicles, I stand to correction, but the reservoir has a built-in level sensor, and if there's a fault with the sensor, that could activate it as well. The other thing is where your handbrake lever is, you have a little switch there that when you release your handbrake and as it goes down, you will find that the handbrake light goes off. But if that has been damaged in some way, you will find that it shifts off position, and as he says, when he brakes, the light goes off. After a while, it comes on, 25 seconds or 20 seconds, something like that. So, yes, there is definitely, you know, I would say very, very simple, basic test on that thing is to just check your brake fluid level out, first of all. And as you mentioned, it's been correct. Then to make sure the free movement of the sensor within the brake fluid reservoir. And the other thing is, if you have a little bit do it yourself or know-how, then obviously you just take the center console off where your handbrake is, and have a look at the switch, how the connection is on the switch, if it's earthing anywhere else, and if it is in a straight position where your handbrake actually, when being released, does put the light off properly.
Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, the brother sends one question here, or like two questions. One is, Assalamu alaikum, it says, my Polo Vivo coolant light goes off every week.
Goes off one?
The coolant light goes off every week, but the temperature gauge shows normal. I still throw in coolant just to be safe. Why is this happening?
coolant level and when the light goes on or off? That's the other question. All right. When you say off, in other words, is it being activated or non-activated? That's the question. Maybe if they could come back with that question to us. But let's do our best, inshallah, to try and answer that as well. It happens on a weekly basis. Obviously, there is some sort of loss of coolant within the cooling system, and with the result, that is why you are filling up on that vehicle. And I would look at the question as it's actually putting the light on, so you are noticing that you have loss of coolant within in the vehicle itself. I think on the Polos, it's got a little red light that flashes if your coolant level is low. So yes, you see, Molana, the thing is, you'll have to have the cooling system checked out there. Simply because I had one, I think it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago, where the radiator cap itself was creating the problem. Mm. He was losing pressure from the radiator cap, which in turn was now obviously the steam going out of the system, and when the car cooled down, then it was short of water. But yes, I would suggest you go into one of the reputable radiator places. You know, you've got Silverton, you've got a couple of other guys on the market. Go out there, let them do a proper pressure test on the system itself, and that would be more than enough to ascertain or to determine exactly where your water loss is coming from.
Okay. Nice SMS coming through. The brother says, I changed my car hooter to sound like gunshots. Yeah, try to go to the taxi rank and put your hooter on.
Could you loan the car from him for a while, Mona? Just go and have some fun around the ranks, you know?
Nice, and jazakallah for that. 26 minutes past 7 o'clock. Abdul Haqqa, a question regarding crankshaft. The 1995 Honda Civic 4-cylinder front-wheel drive automatic.
95, man.
It's got about 200,000 kilos. The brother wants to know, what would it cost to replace the crankshaft? Gee, Marana Bobat walking through in the studios here, looks like his crankshaft is out of alignment.
No, his crankshaft looks totally bent. So, we haven't heard that for a while, Molana.
Gee.
But nonetheless, let's get back to the crankshaft positions story there. Alright, there is some sort of ways that you can work it out. First of all, what is the damage on the crankshaft and why do you want to replace the crankshaft?
Mm.
If there is damage on the crankshaft, there are so many people out there that do engineering places that do repair the crankshaft. You can take it into them. It can work out sometime a lot cheaper to actually repair the crankshaft than to replace it. To replace it, obviously, you're going to have to look around because, vehicles more than 10 years old, it's difficult to come by some of these parts which were never, popular as far as the spares guys are concerned. They never really sold many of these parts. So I would suggest, take it to an engineering guy first. Take it to a reputable engineering guy and, let him have a look at the crankshaft. He can then tell you whether it can be built up, not built up, whether it can be repaired, can't be repaired, whether it's cracked, whether it's scratched, whether it needs polishing, whatever it needs. He will be able to advise you. And if he says you need to replace it, then I would suggest you start looking around the second-hand dealers where you will get it a lot quicker and easier and at a better price.
Jazakumullah. The question coming through, the brother says, okay, this one also with regards to the Polo. Says, well, I got a Polo Hatch 2003 model. It keeps on losing water, no leaks, the pressure test done all okay. He also changed the cap. Where can the water be going to? Cylinder head is okay.
Cylinder head is okay. Alright, the question obviously arises if he says cylinder head is okay, then he probably had a test done. But I'm very curious as to what type of test he's done, whether he has done a chemical test or a leakage test within the cylinder itself. Because if there is no leak anywhere else from the vehicle, 9 out of 10, or I would rather on my side has been 10 out of 10, where you were losing water via the exhaust system, where if the gasket was blown, the water was not mixing with the oil. So a lot of people tend to feel that if the oil and water are not mixing, then obviously the cylinder head is fine. But unfortunately, no, that is not the only way it can happen. Like I said earlier, it could be where your water is actually seeping through into the exhaust system and coming out as steam or maybe later on as water. So, if the cooling system has been properly tested, then I suggest you go to somebody reputable, let him do a chemical test. If not, do a leakage test on the system as well, and I'm sure they will be able to pick up the problem with that.
Jazakum Allah. Abdulhaq, the brother says he's got a 2002 Audi, I think Audi A4. What he says is the camshaft has moved when he changed the water pump. Now this guy doesn't know how to set the timing.
Ah, very good, very good, very good. So obviously, I'm not pleased. I am not labeling anybody. Nor am I judging anybody here, Marana. But if the guy is a mechanic, then there are very, very simple ways of having a look at it. As far as the crankshaft is concerned, but very, very important, at least he's realized that, and I hope he hasn't tried to start the vehicle in that sort of position, because obviously you're going to bend the valves on the vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there is going to be some sort of repercussions on something like that. You know, if you had a problem, something like that, then I would suggest go and have, you know, somebody professional look at the vehicle. I'm not condemning your mechanic or labeling your mechanic, whatever, but if he is not sure, which is one very, very basic thing that you do learn as a mechanic, that is very almost the first thing that you learn, is to make sure that the timing is in correct order. For me to explain to you over air is not a problem, but unfortunately, if you're going to pull a mistake on one of the things I do say, you're going to hold me responsible, because I would rather suggest, Molana, he has somebody, you know, expert, professional, somebody who knows what he's doing, have a look at it, because I hope it's not one of those DIY projects. And the other thing is, if you are doing the cam belt on the Audi, remember, it's quite a job. You've got to take the bumper and everything else off. While you are there, make sure you do replace the water pump, which is not that expensive, as well as don't forget to replace the timing belt tensioner.
Okay. Jazakumullah. 7:30, you are tuned to Radio Islam International. Give us a call on the number 011-854-1548 and the number to SMS, it's 48855, and alternately it is 0825808070G. Question coming through, it says, Assalamu alaikum, Toyota Tez 1300 car, 2005 model. The car switches off every time I apply brakes to stop. It doesn't have much kilos, just about 230,000 kilos.
Yeah, no, which is not bad for the vehicle, definitely. All right, one or two sort of things that could come up from there.
Yeah.
Is either you have some sort of vacuum leak on the system. When I say vacuum leak, it's on your intake manifold side of it. If you have some sort of leak on there, obviously the additional air that's being sucked in will create some sort of idling issue, so maybe when you come to a stop street, it will switch off. The other thing, very, very you know, common on that particular vehicle, is your idle solenoid fuse tends to blow. So if it's very, very simple test you can do, if you have some sort of knowledge, you'll get a piece of wire coming up from your carburetor, you put the ignition on, and you disconnect and connect the wire again, and you hear a clicking sound, then you know the solenoid is working. If there's no clicking sound, then you go back to your fuse, check out your fuses, and I've never had those solenoids that actually gave a problem. It is more a fuse blowing or wire breaking up somewhere there where you get no power coming to your idle solenoid switch on the carburetor, and that was the result when you came to a standstill. You applied the brake, and yes, then you had the car switching off. No.
Lovely. Jazakumullah. Question, the brother says, Assalamu alaikum. I am hearing a sound like steel touching from the brakes. Toyota Corolla 2012 model.
2012. So that sounds so much like brake pads, man. Because
brake pads.
Yeah, because the other thing, you see, a lot of, for example, a lot of these Japanese vehicles, they don't have what we call a electronic or electrical warning system on your brake pads. What they do is they put an additional piece of metal on the side of the brake pad when it is roughly about 80-85% done. So what then happens is when that point comes to the disc, that actual point that comes to the disc, the brake disc, then you get this weird squeaking, scraping, grinding, scratching metal on metal noise, and that is basically a warning on your brake pads. You do get some makes that they don't actually put that in, and if you do fit that on your vehicle and you hear the metal noise, then you've gone way beyond your brake pad should be going, and with the result you have done some damage on the brake discs. It's rather advisable to get it urgently checked out and repaired, because brake is a safety item. Sometimes what happens is if your disc wears beyond the point and your brake pad goes to also beyond the point, then you will have a total brake failure, because what happens then, the brake pad is way too far out, the piston on the caliper has come out way too much, and resulting in loss of brake fluid and pressure, and with the result you will lose brake and it will be a total brake failure. So very, very important as far as brakes are concerned. Go out, go and have a mechanic look at it, a technician look at it rather urgently if you have that sort of a noise on your vehicle. The other thing is, you know, somebody will come back and say, you know what, guys, I just had the brake pads replaced on my vehicle and it's making the scraping noise.
Yeah.
And that happens more than a lot of times is, unfortunately, when the guy is fitting the brake pads, they tend to hold on the backing plate and turn the wheel, with the result bending the backing plate a little bit. So on turns and corners or you know, curves or whatever you want to call them, you have the scraping, touching noise. And that is not necessarily the brake pads. It could be the backing plate that is actually touching on the disc itself. So, yeah, have it checked out properly, and inshallah, you shouldn't have any hassles. But like I said, brakes, safety item, don't mess.
Okay. Question regarding the Hyundai Tucson's. I think they're good cars, eh?
Yeah, in fact, I think, Mona, they're coming out with a new Tucson at the moment.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was just reading a very, very vague little bit on it, and yeah, it looks quite impressive. And like I said to somebody during the course of today, I said to him, you know, he said to me, I want to go buy a Toyota, and I said, did you ever look at the Hyundais? And yeah, let's hear what he's got to tell us on Monday.
Lovely. Inshallah, we'll talk more about the Hyundai Tucson next week, the new ones. But I think Hyundai, with the coming of the old Tucson's, Abdul Haq, you know, they proved that this Korean car maker had the potential to compete with the best of them. And I read an article some time ago regarding the Tucson's. You know, the total sales of the first generation Tucson and also the iX35, it comes to about 57,000 units. It's a hell of a lot in this country.
It's a lot.
And I think this new Tucson is something that's going to basically ruffle a few feathers in this country. Lovely, lovely car, I believe it is. I wonder what surprise going to be.
I had a peek at one or two pictures of it, Mulana, and it was really, it was looking good. I mean, if you look at the Hyundai Tucson, the other one, you look at the Hyundai iX35, Mulana, it's a very, very popular vehicle. And everyone who's had one, so far that I know of, has only had joy out of the vehicle. The only Hyundai that I think comes to mind always that is a bit of a hassle is our good friend, you know, Mulana Muaz, used to have a Terrycan.
Yeah.
Know? And that can of his, unfortunately, gave him quite a bit of hassles. But yeah, you get the odd one that might give you a bit of hassles. But alhamdulillah, as far as our knowledge serves us and the people we talk to and, you know, in our field or in our bracket of this sort of work or line of work, rather, we get the guys who talk about the Hyundais and they are totally impressed. I mean, I had a guy who had a 330i BMW.
Yeah.
It was the E46. And he had brought his vehicle in for repairs. He went out and hired a vehicle for the day. He's actually from Malawi. And I went out and hired a vehicle for the day. And he hired out one of these Hyundais with the panoramic view and things like that. When he came to collect his vehicle, Mona, I just asked him, you know, just for interest sake, I said, "Bhai, what's your opinion on this? You've actually been driving this car for the day." He says, "You know what, Bhai, I'm taking my BM now, and I'm going to trade in for one of these Hyundais." And I said, "Why?" He says, "For the price, value for money, the comfort, the gadget, the gizmos." He says, "It's all full us. It's fantastic." I haven't met him since, but yeah, I would like to meet him one day and ask him what he really, you know, did he really come up with the Hyundai or what? But I'm not saying that, you know, there's something wrong with BMW, Mona. Mm. You know, the BMWs, the 3 Series.
Class,
you know,
on their own.
Yeah, the people, you know, especially the youngsters, the youth. It's a youth magnet. I call it a youth magnet. And they love the BMWs. So yeah, there is nothing wrong with the BMW, but you know, obviously, as we mature, you know, we start looking at it differently from the perspective of value for money.
Okay. The brother says in SMS regarding the Hyundai Tucson, he says, while it may not be in the league of something like the Mazda CX-5, yes, it does instill more confidence than a Ford Kuga would. This is the opinion of the brother. Jazakallah for that comment. SMS question, Abdul Haq. Salams 2002 Polo. Okay, I think that is still not the new shape.
No, that's still
the old ones.
Yeah, that's still old ones.
Must fire in wet weather. I had the problem some time ago. All right. And following done already. The coil, the leads, coolant temp sensor, diagnostic not showing any errors. I just can't forget that part. Normally there's a hairline crack. you know, some water goes into that, so you're going to sit on the road.
Is it the, I think you're talking about what we call...
Distributor.
No, not the distributor itself. You are now talking about the ignition module.
Oh, that yes, that's impossible,
yeah,
is that?
That sits on the firewall there.
Eh? Yeah.
Firewall,
yeah.
Meaning towards the center of the vehicle, behind the engine, actually.
Yeah.
And what happens is when water does splash up...
Mm.
It's rather common on the VWs, you know.
Yeah.
No offense to the guys of VWs, but if you're driving on a rainy day and you can count how many VWs are standing on the side of the road, then you will realize that what I'm saying. Yeah, water tends to splash up on the ignition control module. It's a little, I would say about 5 by 8 centimeter or something,
yeah,
like that.
Mm.
And what happens is when it does crack up, yes. You get after engine wash or like the guy says, when you're driving in wet weather, it tends to collect moisture within itself and you get a misfire. And a lot of times, you fortunate enough, you've got a misfire, you can continue.
Mm. People like me, we sat on the road for hours.
Yeah, you tend to end up sitting on the road. Look, by putting plastic and covering those things, it doesn't really help.
No,
because these components also need to cool down. So if you're going to lock it up within, you know, within itself, confine it within a very space where there's no air flowing through, you're going to create more problems for yourself. I would suggest for a couple of $100, rather have the thing replaced, and you will be better off. Unfortunately, there is no other way you can mount it or take it away from that point where it is. Unfortunately, that is the design of the vehicle, and somehow, yeah, you're going to have to live with that, Marana.
Jazakumullah. 854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS number is 48855 and alternately 0825-8080-70. Jazakumullah. Abdul Haq, what is your opinion regarding a 2001 Kia Sportage?
I love those.
And the brother wants to know, also added to them, how easy is it to change the filters?
Kia Sportage, Manana, I love those vehicles, alhamdulillah. And, you know, they're only going from good to better, if I could put it that way. They're going from good to better, the shape's becoming nicer, the ride is so much better. Obviously, all these Korean vehicles come with the gizmos and everything else now. Filters are relatively easy to replace on these particular vehicles. And now with all the advanced research and, you know, all these sort of systems that have come into play, like, for example, your fuel filters, some of them you don't even replace up until 80,000 kilometers. So, you know, I don't see what's the hassle of going to your local mechanic just to have the air filter replaced. Yes, obviously, what the dealers are trying to do, or the manufacturers, rather, I would suggest, is they are trying to make it a little more difficult for the do-it-yourself guy on the street. So what happens is at least they come to the dealerships and have their vehicles repaired or services, whatever happens at the dealerships. But yeah, relatively easy to work on, rather, you know, a decent amount of space to work on. And like I said, you know, the filters, if you look at the spark plugs today, some of them you only replace at 80,000 kilometers. So it's not that so much of a hassle. And if you look at local South African, you know, driving, then you're more than likely going to replace your spark plugs and your filters, your fuel filter, not all your filters. Roughly at about 30,000, every 3 years, that's 30,000 kilometers a year. So, yeah, the other thing is... the pollen filter, you might have a bit of a hassle because those ones sit 9 out of 10 times under the dash at feet, and yeah, that's got to be replaced regularly because you know, it's what they call now, you know, you've got to breathe clean air, so your air conditioning system or your air system is being filtered before you can actually breathe it. Yeah, that's about it, but nice vehicle. Well, if someone offers me one, I wouldn't mind. Eh?
Can one do an alternator test on your own?
You know, there is a test, Monana, but it's not advisable. Because if you do create a problem, especially with the newer vehicles, and older vehicles, you could actually do it on your own.
Mean you might burn your car in your house?
Depends if you park it in the garage. Take it out of the garage first, so you'll only burn the car. See, Monana, back in the day with the old cars, you know, you pulled out the battery terminal and if the car continued running, then you know your battery was quite okay. But unfortunately, with the newer vehicles, what you're going to have is you're going to have a surge of power in there. because when the alternator is actually charging up the battery, and there's no way that the power goes to now, it's because the battery is disconnected. It's going to distribute it amongst the components in the vehicle, and most of these components are very, very delicate and sensitive. And if you take that terminal off, you are more than likely to blow up one of the control modules units, which could start at about 5,000 and go up to about 30,000, 40,000 rand. So I wouldn't try to do one of those tests. But go and buy yourself a simple meter.
Mm.
You pay $50, $100 for one of these cheap Hong Kong stuff, which you don't use every day, obviously. So you just put it on the battery terminals, and you can take your reading off there. You know, you can see where they're charging. Obviously, there are some sort of specifications. When you put your headlights on and you rev the vehicle, you will get X amount of reading. With the headlights off, you get X amount of reading. And with the result, yes, this is how you will be able to test your battery. So it's your alternator actually charging, not your battery itself.
What is an EGR valve?
It's very self-explanatory, but obviously for us, EGR is exhaust gas recirculation.
Mm-hmm.
Simply what happens there is, I think way back when the 124 series came out of Mercedes, if I stand to correction, they came about with an EGR exhaust gas recirculation valve, where unburnt fuel was taken back into the system where it could be burnt up again. With the result, from the unburnt side, it would go into the air intake. It would then go back into the motor, where it would get ignited by the spark plug, and it would come out as burnt from the other side on the exhaust. And that was actually quite a good idea, and I think it still continues with the vehicle. So yeah, it improves efficiency on the vehicle. But I think it was more related to the regulations as far as the gases in the atmosphere is concerned, where they try to reduce the gases in the atmosphere. Obviously, it's what we call go green today.
Lovely. Jazakumullah. Limited time, 854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS number is 48855, and alternately 0825808070. We're waiting for the calls as well as the SMSs. All right, Abdul Haq, let's take this question here, my brother. This one states here, it says, my 1994 VW Jetta Mark III VR6 came with automatic transmission, but the auto box was giving me problems, so I had it replaced with a manual gearbox. I don't know if that was a good idea. Anyway, now, when I push the car to its maximum speed, it only reaches 185 kilometers per hour. My brother, how much more faster do you want to drive? Could this drop in top speed be due to the transmission transplant, Abdul Haq? What's your opinion?
See, Mulana, there's a couple of questions that come to mind.
Okay.
And, just for myself personally, I would ask the question.
Yeah.
Is obviously, he's bought the VR6 in automatic and realized, that they unfortunately had a bit of an issue with their gearboxes. The second issue comes in, all right, you've had your gearbox replaced with a manual gearbox. Not a bad idea. I have done that on other vehicles, but where and what manual gearbox did you put in? Did you put in another VR6 box in there, or did you just get, any box that, VW box that would fit on the thing? Yes, I don't see it really affecting in that way, but what can, though, affect the speed limitations is the gearbox ratio within the gearbox itself.
Yeah.
If the gear ratio is not of this of that sort of same ratio, then yeah, you're going to have a bit of a hassle on your top end. But with that manual gearbox, I think on pull off you should be running quite well. It should be pulling off quite nicely, and on top end it should be dropping you on top end as far as your speed is concerned. So it is limiting your speed. But then on the other hand as well, there should be a bit more sort of less kilograms on the vehicle itself, because what happens, the automatic gearbox is much, much heavier than your manual gearbox.
Oh.
In that way you'll get a bit of, weight out of the vehicle, but you're not going to improve on that thing if the gear ratio is incorrect. Not incorrect, but of the correct ratio.
What about the speedometer reading? Is it possible that this may have just become inaccurate?
Yes, actually, I supposed to have said something about that, but yes. It might not become totally inaccurate, but yes, it will differ a fair amount.
Yeah.
Because what happens is now the ratio in the gearbox, obviously, is making a bit of a difference on the actual gear size within the gearbox itself. So that is your resulting in... I wouldn't say inaccurate, but it will affect it to a certain degree, yes. Not that much, though.
JazakumAllah. We're going further, Abdul Haq. The question the brother is asking here is, okay, he wants to buy a maximum 3 litre 1995. He wants to pay 35,000. As my brother, 35 grand, firstly, it's a hell of a lot. And I wouldn't advise you to buy the maximum 3 litre. No, not at all.
Please buy it, don't buy it. Please. You know, I actually will go down on my knees and say, don't buy it.
If you really want to buy it, pay 18,000 rands, 16,000 rands.
Molana, I still wouldn't pay that much. Mm. I'm sorry to say that. I'm sitting with a Nissan Maxima currently. While driving, this vehicle switches off.
Yeah.
Right. We've done whatever we needed to do. But there is so much of difficulty finding components for this vehicle.
Difficulty.
It is absolutely unreal. And the other thing, the vehicle is absolutely no resale value. You know, you sometimes you're better off driving it into the wall and calling it a day. But Nissan Maxima, especially 3 litre,
no go.
Sorry, no go, not for me. And I think if you, Manon, if you buy one, I won't talk to you. So, yeah.
Abdul Haq, question here, my brother, regarding A4 Audi. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Audi A4 1.8 turbo 208 model. Slippery light on dash, comes on intermittently and stays on until switch ignition on or off. Airflow meter changed and the brake light sensor changed, as well as the brake pad and discs. The diagnostic shows faulty brake light sensor even after new part fitted. Please help. Very, very frustrating. JazakumAllah.
Yeah, all right. I would suggest, first of all, if that light comes on, you have what we call stability control on that vehicle. And obviously, when you're cornering, it depends how you're cornering. A lot of the other vehicles, for example, BMW has a triangle in it, the Mercedes-Benz has a triangle in it. If, for example, your one wheel is spinning quicker than the other wheel, then it's going to pick it up and it's going to give you a orange light. And with the result, unfortunately, on your side, it is not switching, the light is not switching off itself. So, yes, I would suggest you look at your ABS sensors as well, first of all. Then you can look at your if you have a, I don't know if that vehicle has a sensor on the differential, because that, I know on the Mercedes-Benz, you have the sensor on the differential where your ABS sensor is. That could also be affecting the thing. As far as your brake light is concerned, it's all related to your ABS. That's what my sort of feeling is on that. But I think go and see a guy who knows what he's talking about as far as the electronics on that car is concerned.
Okay. Abdul Haq, the listener says, please repeat the answer to the question he asked earlier. I have a Polo 2003 model. It keeps on losing water. No leaks. Pressure test done. All okay. Change the cap also. Where can the water be coming to? Cylinder head is okay.
Yeah. You see, the thing is, like I said earlier, Mona, if the cylinder head is okay, how did you determine or how did you ascertain that the cylinder head is okay? Did you look at the oil and water mixing, or did you take it to a radiator place or someone who is professional that actually did a test for you? Because what happens is you could be losing water from your exhaust system. And it sounds rather strange, but that is true. At a certain temperature, you are getting a bypass on your cylinder head gasket, which is then coming out on your exhaust side of the valves and going out through the exhaust, or rather burning out the exhaust. And with the result, you are losing the water, but you don't see it being lost. Did you do pressure test? You said yes. Did you have cylinder test done? Yes. But there are two different sort of tests on the head you can do. One is the chemical test, where you have it taken to Soberton Radiators or one of these guys, and they will do what they call a chemical test to see if there is any combustion being lost into the water. The other test is what we call a leakage test, where they actually remove the spark plug and they then put in X amount of pressure in that with a pressure hose, and they then see what happens to the water level in your reservoir or the radiator itself. So yeah, you can have one of those two tests done, but don't just take it on face value. Go look at it deeper inside and you should be able to pick it up. I found that on a Toyota Prado. It took me a couple of days, but yes, I did find out on the Prado, the loss of water was not leaking from anywhere, not even mixing oil and water, but yes, it was being lost through the exhaust system.
Jazakumullah. Final question for tonight's program, Abdul Haq. Ford Focus, the car will crank but not run.
Crank but don't start.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. That is more than likely one of these sensors. Did the car switch off on its own? Or, you know, there are so many questions and so many answers to this whole thing. But very, very quickly, Monana, you know, had your cam belt change on time? You know, how does it sound? If it sounds like the engine is just running very or starting very just, you know, almost with no resistance, then I would suggest you do a compression test. It will tell you if there's any bent valves or if your cam belt is fine or not. The other thing is, obviously, it's one of the sensors, because on those vehicles you have what they call a crankshaft position sensor that picks up your number one position, and those are electromagnetic sensors. If perchance the coils within the sensor is damaged, then it will not send a signal, and obviously the vehicle will then not start.
Okay. Jazakallah for the lovely program, Abdul Haq. We learned a great deal, my brother. Jazakallah, and you have a lovely weekend.
Jazakallah, Maulana. It was an absolute pleasure. Jazakallah to all those people who have sent us the SMSs. Alhamdulillah. I hope we have done justice to all the questions. Inshallah. Hopefully our main Hazrat, brother Adil, will be here next week with us, inshallah. And hopefully we should have a guest with us as well, inshallah, in our next week's program. So I hope you guys are all going to be ready. Put a reminder on your phone that next week is a very, inshallah, will be a special program, and you guys will be listening in and asking your questions, inshallah. And yeah, go out there, have a wonderful weekend. Jazakumullahu khairan. Request special du'as.
All right, 3 minutes to 8 o'clock. Coming up next, inshallah, we have the news from myself, Muhammad Kara, as well. Have a lovely weekend. Request for special du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.